Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 272.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 272. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thanks so much for being here. So, shoot, I don't have my water, but that's okay. This is going to be a simple lesson and very, very effective for what it is. And I'm going to be showing you one particular exercise that I'll get into in just a moment. That's honestly, this was such a game changer and has been for a lot of students. The students in the accelerator program, I've actually been showing this a lot to them. They've been getting a lot of traction out of this and making really amazing amounts of progress from this particular exercise. So it's great. Really, really excited about a lot of things. I'm laughing because I say that every time, but I'm a huge golfer. I love playing golf. I have a mission to shoot in the 70s. I've been sending emails out about golf correlations. I've been having more fun with emails lately too, because so many things in life really relate to other things in life. You know what I mean? I know, I was making fun of myself for the sentence because it was so vague. But what I mean is that jazz piano and other activities relate a lot in life. And in the program, accelerator program, actually, I had a group lesson with them today. By the way, if you're still interested, you have one more week until enrollment shuts down. So the program starts on the 6th, Tuesday, and it's going to close at midnight on Labor Day, the 5th, September 5th, 2022. There's 6 spots left with people in the works. So if you're interested, let me know. You can go to, you can shoot me an email at brendanlowe@jazzpianoschool.com. What this is a 3-month program that will give you access to myself, teaching educators, small group of people that get to study privately with myself, my educators, with group lessons, open mic nights, Q&As, things like that, all done through Zoom. You get to know me, have a conversation with me, you get assignments from me, really great stuff. Anyway, so I was talking, someone asked a question in the program this morning. People have signed up early for bonus lessons, but she said, well, do I really need to, one of my teachers had me just kind of improvising and playing and seeing what came out. Do I really need to kind of learn a lot of stuff to learn how to improvise, or can I just kind of put my hand on the piano and play around? And I was like, that's a good question. And the way I want to answer this is that it depends, you know, depends what level you want to get to. I never like saying, I like people to find their own way. I like giving answers that allow people to think and open up their mind so that they can kind of come to their own conclusion, right? Because a lot of teachers would be like, yes, you need to learn this. You need to absolutely learn all this stuff. You need to do it my way. You need to do it step by step. I've heard this before, right? That wasn't the way that I wanted to do it a lot of times, and it kind of was a turnoff for me. But I always give students a path and an opportunity to go down to decide for themselves, right? So I related it to golf. In golf, if I were just to pick up a club, let's say you've never played golf before and you went to pick up a club and you tried to play golf and you tried to get better, right? That probably is going to be very, very difficult. You're not going to get that far in golf or any other hobby for that matter, right? But if I were to kind of teach you about your stance, or some instructor, right, teach you about the way the club swings, that would get you a little bit further. Now, the further you go down, the more knowledge you have, the more information you acquire through the game, or, you know, the game of golf, and the more you practice, the better you're going to get. Now, do you think the pros have worked through all of that stuff and have practiced it over the amount of years that they've been playing golf for? Absolutely, of course. They probably know everything there is to know about golf, right? It's the same for piano. All the pros that you ever hear on albums, 99% of them, I'd say, can play anything you want, can tell you everything you want about everything. I mean, they've just been doing it so long. They have so much knowledge, so much information. Now, of course, there are exceptions, but for the majority of them, that holds true, right? So it's really up to you. It's up to you to how far you want to go. Knowledge is power, right? If you just want to place your hand on the piano and start to noodle around a little bit and try and improvise and see what just comes out, right? See if you can just feel it. A lot of things my teachers used to say to me, just put your hand on the piano and play. Just play random notes, see if you can feel it. I tried that for years, and for some reason, I just never got better. Can you imagine just trying to swing a golf club and just going out and playing golf for years? Like, yeah, sure, you're going to get better. You're going to reach a certain level, but in order to break through or make even more progress, you need to start learning about the things that make you better, the tools, the concepts, right? Because there's a really small amount of knowledge. It's the 80-20 rule. There's different parts of the game, or there's different parts of jazz piano that really start to unlock doors, and like just bring out an amazing, open up all these doors to your playing. But anyway, I've been enjoying relating jazz piano to the game of golf. I did that today in the accelerator program to answer. I have a big announcement. I don't know if I should make it here, but things are going to be changing inside of Jazz Piano School, and I think for the better. And what the accelerator program has been teaching me about is, because this is the first time, this is going to be really funny. For all the podcast listeners out there, I'm sorry, I need to get some water. My water, I can see my water bottle on my desk over there. So just give me one sec. Okay, I'm back. I love unedited podcasts because it really gives you like an in-depth look into just, you know, how things are recorded. And people doing podcasts, you know, they're so funny. Everyone tries to edit all the ums or the, you know, the static or whatever. I say just leave them in. Well, if you can't speak very well, obviously there's sections that you should probably edit out. But like, you know, it's fun to hear a sneeze every now and again. It's fun to see like some live action, right? Anyway, I got my water. Everything's all good. So what I've learned from the accelerator program is that more than anything, more than just courses and knowledge and voicings and licks and lines, the thing a student needs most is accountability in a specific and small number of tasks to focus on without letting their mind wander or get pulled in other directions to alluring things in jazz piano. There's so many areas of jazz piano to focus on. And again, it's a lot like golf. You can focus on your driver. You can focus on every individual club in golf. Your putting, your chipping, your driving, your approach shot, your bunker shot, your bump and run, your wedges, right? Think about that. Take all those the different things I just mentioned and apply that to jazz. In jazz piano, you can focus on your solo piano, your improv for solo piano, your comping for solo piano, your voicings, your left-hand voicings, your two-hand voicings, your group voicings, your low-end register voicings, your medium-end register voicings, your high-end register voicings, inner movements, harmonies, progressions, reharms, diatonic harm. Like, it's endless. Just let that sink in for 1 second. While I get more water. Right? So how do you know? How do you know what to focus on? Well, it takes some guidance and accountability and someone saying, okay, just work on these three things, because the key that you need right now to unlock the door that you're in front of, every student's in front of a door. And to get through that door, a lot of times students are picking up the wrong keys that don't go to that door. They go to a future door that's through the door that you're standing in front of. Does that make sense? I want you to picture a row of doors, right? In a box of keys. So many students are picking up keys. They're searching around the internet, searching through YouTube, you know, everything. Books, DVDs, I go through the spiel all the time. They're picking up all these keys and they're saying, oh, cool, look at this key, this is cool, look at this key, it's cool. They're trying to put in the door, but it doesn't fit, right? And they're like, well, they learn a little bit about it. I'm like, yeah, it's still not working for me. The keys need to go in order. You need to unlock certain steps and certain orders to really gain access to the power of all the information. Otherwise, it's not helpful. If I were to try... can you imagine a golfer picking up a club and then watching Rory swing or Tiger and being like, okay, I'm going to try and swing like this. I'm going to do exactly what they're doing. That'll help me get better. Will it though? It's probably impossible. You haven't taken any lessons. You don't know how to use the golf club, swing the golf club, where to put your feet, how to bring it back, right? Different doors are going to open at different times. And it's really hard to know which door you need to open. Anyway, my point being, the accountability and the guidance that I've given the students in the Accelerator program based off of seeing them and knowing exactly what they need is the number one thing that I believe truly helps students make progress. It's not really just a dumping of education or lessons, which you can get anywhere on the internet. It's a structured curriculum. It's a structured progress path based on feedback and assessment that can move you down the line. So as Jazz Piano School progresses, and I might start this before the end of the year, but at the end of the year, but I'm going to separate the self-study courses from students that want accountability and lessons. Now you're probably like, wait, what? What's happening? So up until this point, you can join Jazz Piano School. You can get access to essentially everything. And it's very overwhelming. So what I'm going to do is there's going to be the membership and self-study area separate from each other. The membership will be for students who want accountability, who want live lessons, who want practice lessons, who want some tools as well, some charts, some basic courses and things like that to help them with their playing. But the main fundamental benefit from joining the membership will be you get to take lessons and essentially work through what you need in the moment, right? With the community and the educators and things like that. Now, the self-study courses are separate. So if you want to purchase a course, if you want to purchase the full curriculum that I've created, that's a step-by-step path, or just purchase any information that you want, right? If you want access to any information that you want to study on your own without feedback, that'll be separate. That's just kind of your by yourself study, right? Because the reason I want to change this so I can provide more accountability for students by helping them grow more through lessons, through interaction, through showing up for you to give you what you need and what you truly can unlock the door that's right in front of you. Now, if you want to take the self-study course and try and figure that out on your own, be my guest. That's completely fine. I love doing that myself too. And what I'll do, I actually like doing both. So I take golf lessons. I'm part of a membership and I get that feedback, but then I also, you know, study on my own. I also buy courses. I also do that. I also self-study, right? So I combine both of the two, and that will be an option for you as well, right? For everyone as well. So that's what I'm going to be releasing soon. A lot of cool specialty courses I'm going to be focusing on too to build up the self-study area, right, of the Jazz Piano School, self-study area. And as you probably know, this is a long-winded intro to this lesson, but the improv course is going to be coming out. I'm going to be developing a voicings specialty course, an Oscar Peterson specialty course, probably a specialty course on lots of great jazz giants, Chick, Red Garland, Wynton Kelly, McCoy, all that good stuff. You know, it's taken me a while. I've been resistant to develop a cocktail, jazz piano cocktail specialty course, because the word cocktail piano is funny because it gets thrown around. That's not really a term that jazz professional jazz pianists use, which is really, really funny because we don't relate. You know, I teach styles, I teach certain elements, but for some reason, the cocktail pianist has come about due to hearing pianists in cocktail lounges or bars or, you know, cocktail hours, right? But I'm going to create a course on that, how to kind of gather that sound, that feel. Anyway, those are the plans I have. I got to start this lesson because my voice is going with the hour and a half program I had this morning with the accelerator students. I got to get into this. So let me take a little more water here. And then we're going to dive in to this amazing exercise to create bebop lines. Okay? So with that being said, let's dive in. Here we go. All right. So with your bebop lines, the equation of a bebop line or an improv line it's going to start out with an approach note, a bebop approach note. Now, I don't want to go too far into that today because there's lots of videos on bebop approach notes in the podcast, the membership, so on and so forth. But the way a line is constructed, let's say we're moving into a minor seventh chord, a 2-5-1. So on the downbeat of 4, the measure before, we might start our bebop approach. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, and 1. The bebop approach allows us to land on a chord tone to start our line. So it's like tension leading into our line. Right? Now, what's happening here is that we essentially have a surrounding, that, you know, bebop approach notes are called different things, enclosures, surrounding notes. We have this tension and release that's moving into the chord tone. Now, everything I did up until that point was pretty much diatonic. It wasn't pretty much, it was diatonic. It was all scalar motion. I'm just moving up my diatonic scale, just our C major scale, because we're in the key of C, this 2-5-1, D minor 7, G7, C major 7. Now, what happens at the end of the line there, right? What happens is that I'm adding in another bebop approach note, which is leading me into my next chord tone I want to fall on. Now, to start, if you're a beginner, even intermediate, even advanced players, I've heard some people don't do this that great. You want to be able to land on these chord tones and get that fundamentally sound before moving into really advanced things. Chord tone, I'm landing on the root. Chord tone. Chord tone. Right? That last line didn't really have any bebop approach. I'm going to change that up. But so here's the root. Third. Maybe something like that. Right? So at the end, I landed on the fifth of the C major 7. So creating a line, there's different components that go into an improv line or constructing it and practicing it, as I'm going to get to in just a second. So our bebop approaches usually, for the most part, generally speaking, lead us into a new chord and are used to get into a new chord. They also serve as a gateway to lead us into the next chord tone, right? Chord tone, bebop approach, chord tone, chord tone. Now, before landing on those chord tones, every single time I used a bebop approach to get me into that because it created tension and then resolved into my chord tone. Let me speed it up, add some finesse to it, and you can kind of hear how this line sounds, okay? Not bad. Let me do it a little slower. So I constructed that line based off of three very easy elements. A bebop approach to get us into our chord tone. scalar motion in the middle of the measure, right? Between beats 1 and 4, and then another bebop approach attached to get me into the next chord tone. Three elements. So bebop approach, scalar motion, bebop approach, bebop approach. Now, I should say the third element is the chord tone you're landing on. So the bebop approach is 1, the chord tone is element 2, and then my scalar motion to connect the rest of the line. Chord tone, chord tone, chord tone. Again, all connected with scalar motion and then a bebop approach to get me into that next chord tone. Now, the exercise that's so helpful that I've been giving to all my accelerator students and teaching everyone inside of Jazz Piano School is essentially exactly what I'm doing here. So obviously you need to learn about your bebop approach notes. There's a couple steps you need to take, right? And you should do them in this order. Chord tones. You need to know your chord tones through your seventh chords, right? The very first step to becoming a great improviser is being able to improvise just with your chord tones alone so that you know them like the back of your hand. Because right when I said you need to know like the back of your hand, I hit a 9 by accident. But you should be able to solo over anything just using chord tones, right? Autumn Leaves. You should be able to take any tune and just make a solo with chord tones. That's step number one. Step number two, if you're able to do that, fundamentally speaking, moving on to your next step, is be able to create scalar motion, diatonic scalar motion within whatever key the tune is in, and connect your chord tones. So if I take a 2-5-1, I should be able to start on a chord tone and land on a chord tone for my next chord, and in between, play scalar motion. And what I mean by scalar motion is just moving up and down the key center that you're in. So here, this 2-5-1 is the key of C. I'm just moving up and down using the C major scale. That's it. That's it. Right? I landed on the third here. And then I landed on the third again. And in between the chord tones, your scalar motion is moving up and down however you please. You can keep going up the whole time. You just got to figure out the rhythmic pattern to land on those chord tones. And if you need to make a jump or a skip, like a third, obviously you've seen I've been doing that, do so. Right? So here I need to make a skip to land on this 7. Maybe I'll go back up. And that equaled out perfectly. I didn't need to jump or anything. It led me right on to the 5 of the C major 7. That's step number 2. Being able to solo through tunes diatonically while landing on chord tones. So if I were to use Autumn Leaves again. I'm just moving up and down scalar motion, right? Using the key center, but still landing on chord tones. That's step number 2. You should be able to do that with any tune. Now, step number 3, right, is incorporating now these bebop approaches to start to add tension and bebop sounds to our line, right? So instead of this, I might go. So I added a bebop approach or. So I'm adding the bebop approach in the beginning, connecting with scalar motion in the middle, and then adding another bebop approach in the end of the measure to get me into my next chord or my next chord tone, in this case, the F7. So again, if I start this on beat 4, 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2, 3 and 4 and 1. have to use a bebop approach on this end because I was falling right into it. Right? So here, right? That's what I played before. Sorry, I forgot. I didn't have to use that bebop approach there. But this should be an exercise if you're at this level. I mean, if you can do the two steps that I just taught you beforehand, now you're at this level. And at this level, the practice exercise you want to use to create lines is going to be as follows. Start with a bebop approach, play scalar motion or thirds. Mainly in jazz, you'll hear scalar motion or thirds. And then end with a bebop approach. So just take your 2-5-1s. Start with a bebop approach. That's a very advanced one. You don't have to use that, but you could, right? 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. Check out the line I just created using this kind of just equation. It's a systematic equation to creating lines, right? Bebop approach I started with. Now, granted, you need to learn some things to make this happen, but once you do, these things really fall into place. 3 and 4 and 1. Now I'm using skips instead of scalar motion. So skips are perfectly acceptable. Thirds are really commonly used in jazz improv, right? So instead of scalar motion, I'm using thirds. I could use scalar motion too. I could do this. Now the chord scale above is a bebop approach. So when I do this, going up to that C is technically a bebop approach, so it still acts the same. Even though it's still a diatonic, it still works the same. But I could make a half step below approach here. Right? That gives a little bit more of a tension and release because it has a non-diatonic note. Anyway, this is your exercise to create lines using this system. Bebop approach. So I went up by thirds, I came down using scalar motion. Now I need to get myself into a chord tone, right? And I need to pick the chord tone first, D or B. Let's say I pick B. How do I get there using a bebop approach? So 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. That mathematically fits with the rhythm. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. So that's how I could go back up to the D if I wanted to. Right? So I did another different approach to get me to the chord tone of the D. Now, wherever you are around beat 3 and a half or 4, 3 and or 4, you need to kind of decide what chord tone you're getting to. But this is a fantastic exercise. Work through your 2-5-1s. Try to combine lines that continuously flow through your chord tones by using a bebop approach to start the line and in the middle to transition to the next chord tone. And in the middle, between the two bebop approaches, you just have scalar motion or thirds, right? So let's try a different one. Let's try a bebop approach to the 5 of the 8 minor 7. And you don't always have to target your chord tones in your mind. You can see where your hand falls. This is where the experimentation starts to happen. So maybe I go 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1. That was kind of an interesting line because I used all the same bebop approaches. I used chord scale above to half step below to the chord tone, 5. Now, this is a stepping stone, right? Clearly, there's things missing. We're missing extensions. We're missing musicality. I haven't even talked about the bebop scale yet, right? Which includes a passing tone. So, but this is a fantastic exercise to start to really allow you to create improv lines through changes that sound fantastic, that sound like bebop, and will really start to work your fingers and fundamentally build the skills you need in your right hand to create that improvisational sound that everyone's looking for. All right? Work this exercise a lot through 2-5-1s, through tunes, through any progression, 1-4-3-6, 3-6-2-5. start to comp with your left hand, rootless voicings, right? Turn on iReal Pro. Just use this a lot. I guarantee your improv will get so much better. Okay? Talk to you soon.